Thank the Lord this morning for His abundant love and the fullness of it, the richness of it, the grandness of it, and that we can reign this morning. And to reign, I suppose, would mean to have some dominion. And we reign in life. I think to that degree we have to reign over life, because life is probably, in my case anyway, more than I can really handle in a proper way without some help, strength to be able to reign. So thank the Lord this morning we can reign. A little song has been on my heart for the, few days now. I want to use it as a beginning spot because the song is a question, what would Jesus do? And let me read the chorus. What, oh, what would Jesus do? What, oh, what would Jesus do? When you're tempted, always stop and think, what, oh, what would Jesus do? I think this is an appropriate song for all people, but I believe it is a very appropriate song for the Church of God and for the children of God, because we have a testimony of following Jesus. And we have the admonition and charge given to us that we are the light of the world. And we are a city set on a hill. And we're the salt of the earth. And we are to be as He is. So I think when we're going through life, we need to stop and think, how would the Lord respond? As I was kind of contemplating on these thoughts, I'm thinking about a scripture that the Bible, through Paul, tells us that every one of us are going to give an account of the deeds done in this life. So I thought about that a little bit, and I thought, life is really a series of actions. It's a series of events. It's a series of you and me responding to it. It's a series of me and you going through actions. Those actions can be outwardly in the sense that they're seen, could be photographed, they could have a motion video made of them. Those actions can be words that we speak, and the weight, the gravity, or the levity of them, the wisdom of them, or the foolishness of them. Those actions that we're going to give an account of can be our mind and what we think. How we think, or do we think, how we consider people, how we treat people, how we think of others, and how we think of God. Those actions can be how we let our will have jurisdiction in our life and what we submit to. When I think about those kind of things, I realize that life is a very complex matter, really. And I'm going to stand before the Lord, the judgment seat of Christ, I believe it said. And then I need to think seriously, perhaps, about what this songwriter said, what would Jesus do? In a series of the actions that I'm going to go through, past, now, and in the future, I'm going to be judged on the criteria of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be judged on His Word, by His character, by His Spirit, by what He taught me. Then I need to realize that before I put my life into motion, before I harbor a feeling or an emotion, before I form a habit, before I allow myself to and my affections to go out, before I do whatever I do, I really need to stop and think, along with the songwriter, what would Jesus do? Because Brother Larry said last night, in a way, he said this anyway, that it's the Lord is going to make the choice. He's going to do the selecting. He's the one that's going to say you acted like a goat or you acted like a sheep. That your ways and your actions, when weighed on the scales of the justice of the Lord and the life of Jesus Christ, they were right in line, and they were in a way that that I can approve of them. Or just the opposite of that. So today let's think a little bit about life, actions we go through, and the little song's admonition that asks us a question, what would Jesus do? When you're tempted, when you're tried. I think now some scriptures are coming to my mind. The life that everybody lives, saint or sinner, is really not only a life of actions, but it's rather complicated at times. And I find to really behave as Christ behaves, I find that rather challenging. And I find that I don't always know the answers to those things. I'm glad the Lord said in one place in the Old Testament that He sent His Word and He healed them. I believe that Word comes to us as a lamp, as a light. It comes to us as the rod of correction. It comes to us as a way mark. It comes to us that we'll have something behind us that will encourage us to go forward. I'm glad the Word of God came because it's not in man to direct his steps, to direct his actions, to direct his thinking. And I need to be able to stand before God. And I also need then help in enabling me to know how to stand before God. It's not really a complicated thought, but yet it's a thought sometimes we overlook, that we need God to govern our actions. We need God to temper our thinking. We need God to minister to us to know how to act. You know, if it wasn't for God, wouldn't we be a group? Wouldn't, you know, how bad would we be? Look around. What separates you, me? What separates a child of God from the child of the devil? The blood of Jesus Christ. The obedience to that blood in His Word. So the Lord sent His Word that you and me might have the fullness of life and the fullness of joy, and that you and I might not have to be ashamed at His coming. That our actions could be in a way that He'd say, well done. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but has your actions ever caused you to be embarrassed? Have your actions ever caused you to be ashamed and that you just wish you hadn't have done that, not from the standpoint of the red face, but from the regrets it caused? You know, the Lord wants to spare us of that. I don't know of any other greater regret than to be cast into hell. God wants to spare us of that. And our actions dictate whether we're going to go to hell or not. Think about it. Kind of a serious thing, isn't it? What I do with my time, what I do with my life, what I do with my mind, my lips, what I do with my hands, and what I do with my eyes. How I treat you, and how I think of you, and how I conduct myself with my family. That's going to have a big bearing, great bearing, on whether I go to heaven or whether I go to hell. Over in John, the 14th chapter, thinking about the Lord's goodness to us, in that He sent His Word and He healed us. And He said, if you love me, John 14 and 15, and we know this scripture well, but do we know it well? I'll just ask us that. We know this scripture, but do we know it well? Do we know that there's a real advantage in knowing this and doing this? If you love me, He said, keep my commandments. If we have a relationship with Him whereby we recognize, one, our insufficiency and His sufficiency, our littleness and His greatness, in man's sinfulness and in God's holiness, when we recognize that all His deeds and all His thoughts are pure and holy and clean, and rarely would you ever find a man or a woman who outside of God, if you ever could, say, all my thoughts are pure and holy. Because we're basically selfish. We're going to probably end up with a scripture that said, I'm crucified with Christ. That element that's in you and me that dictates and causes actions to take place. What is there? What is the authority of our life? The Lord said, if you love me, You're going to understand that I've got a code of conduct. I've got a code of action. There's a way you need to think. There's a way you don't need to think. And I want you to know them. And if you love me, you're going to be interested in finding out what they are. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to keep them because you know in them is life. And he said, I'll pray to the Father. There's benefits in keeping the commandments of God. Not only going to heaven, but he said that we might have peace right here in this life too. That we might not have that red-faced approach to God. That we might not have the horror of regrets that a sinful life or a selfish life will produce in us. He said, I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Everywhere I go, I can know how to act. Everywhere I go, I can know how to talk. Everywhere I go in every action, I can have the power of God directing me do's and don'ts. Don't think that away. Don't let your mind go out that away. You know, when Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again. Think about that. What would Jesus do when someone accosted him? What would Jesus do when someone hurt him? It's not allowed to us to carry out justice and carry out judgment. I believe the Bible teaches us not to avenge ourselves. And that word avenge in the Greek, part of that means the process of carrying out justice. Not only feeling it, but actually to attempt to be the one who does the punishing. And I want to say to us, if we find ourselves in that mode, I want to tell you the best it'll do is make you miserable. The worst it'll do is condemn you before God. But what would Jesus do? When things don't appeal to me and I have to take a humble route, what would Jesus do? What would be his attitude? What would happen if Jesus was here and was making... He said, I'll give you another comfort. Another place, he said, the Spirit would lead us into all truth. I'm glad for that this morning because my actions are pretty heavy. They have a lot of bearing on me. Young people, thank you for being here this morning. You could be somewhere else. Most of you have enough authority in your life to make that decision. Some of you may be here because Mama said to, but most of you here are because you had a choice. You know, you're going to face that, wow, all through life. And you know what's kind of sad when you see someone that's lived their life with bad choices and they've come down to a place where they're sorry. Those bad choices weigh so heavy on them, it hinders their faith and it hinders their courage. So remember this, every one of us, the choices, the actions that we go through, we're going to give an account of it. So the Lord sent his word to direct us, sent commandments to us, sent instructions to us that you and I might know how to act. I'm going to tell you something. I'll be honest with you. I know how you ought to act. I really do. If you don't believe me, just ask me and I can tell you. Well, I wouldn't probably. I could. They shouldn't act that way. They shouldn't have said that. Well, they're going to get in trouble if they keep doing that. They're going to be so sorry when they do that. Kind of easy sometimes to see the mote in someone else's eye. And we got a two before sticking in our own eye. Kind of a strange malady that man has. But, oh Lord, help us as people. What would Jesus do in my life, in my case? We referred to this scripture a little earlier. It's over in 1 John. The 14th chapter. You know, Paul speaks to us, I said the 14th chapter, 4th chapter of 1 John. You know, Paul speaks about himself and the apostles, and me and you, as being ambassadors of the Word and ambassadors for Christ and for God. How much do you know about an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative of the government that sends him. He is a representative of the king, the queen. He is a representative of the United States State Department. He does not go and speak his will. He speaks the will of the president and the will of the State Department. He may have, in essence, an opinion varying from what the president's policy is or the State Department's policy is. He doesn't have the liberty to state that. Officially, he speaks for the government, for the president, for whoever sent him. You and I are ambassadors for Christ, and we are to speak for him. And you and me know actions speak louder than words. You and me know that how we conduct ourselves portrays what the world thinks about Jesus Christ. And this scripture that tells us this, over in 1 John 4 and 17. Do you remember we read, "If you love me, keep my commandments"? Here he said, and he talks about our love being perfected, coming to maturity, blooming, and bearing fruit. Here he speaks about love not just being in an infantile state or in its planted state, but a love that has taken root, a love that has sent out shoots, a love that has become a plant, a planting of the Lord, a tree of righteousness. He said, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." That's what God wants you and me to have, is to be able to say in every scene, in every action of our life, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Right here today, when I am being persecuted, when I'm being nailed on the cross with Christ, when I am being hurt, and when I don't get my way, right then and there, Lord, my actions should, and I want them to betray the testimony, portray, the action, the thought, the scripture, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." That we might have a boldness or a confidence based on, one, keeping the commandments, the love of God in our heart. If we love Him, we keep His commandments. Then our actions portray who He is, because He went on and said, as He is, so are we in this world. Now, folks, Paul spoke of it this way. He was probably speaking about martyrdom. He was probably speaking about having finished his course completely and suffered martyrdom. Maybe that's what he was talking about. But he said this, and I want to use it anyway, this way, that he had not apprehended yet. He had not achieved the final dispensation of Christ in his life to be martyred. Maybe that's what he was saying. But I want to say that this morning, maybe we feel we haven't totally, completely apprehended all that we've been apprehended for. But Paul also said in that Philippian letter that he was pressing for it, he desired it, and he wanted it. When we, maybe saints don't like to say it this way, but when we fail, when our actions do not portray Christ, the Bible teaches us that there is an action on our part called force. It's called pressing. It's called laboring. It's called violence. It's called not laying down and rolling over when we have been less than we wish we would have been in a situation. But it's a time when we allow that perfect love, that love that brings humility and submission and obedience to the Word of God, to begin to work its work in us, purge us, temper us, have a restraining influence in our life, that we'll go on past that place that we were less than what we felt like we are. Because the commandment is, the instructions are, that as He is, so are we in this world. Now, that's a pretty open-ended statement, really. He didn't clarify it greatly and make specifics of what he was talking about as far as how Christ was. Was he meaning strictly in patience or strictly in sacrifice? was he talking about strictly one? He just said, as Christ is. Another scripture said, as you have therefore learned Christ Jesus, so walk in. Govern your steps by what you know of Christ. Govern your actions. Not so much by what you know, but yes, that's a true statement, but also by the presence of Christ in us. See, he is not to be just Christ of the Bible. He's supposed to be Christ of the temple, and we're the temple of God. He is to be the king of the temple. He is to be the ruling influence through love, through his power and his grace, through his commandments and through his word. So now, in this lifetime of action, and that's what life is. See, when you're asleep, there's action. It can be defined what you're doing. Stan is sleeping. No? See Dick run. See Jane run. Life can be described in action. We know at all times if Stan is sleeping, Stan is breathing. You see? We can describe life in action. Lord, help us to have that guiding influence, that tempering influence, that influence of correction, that influence of hope, that influence of instruction to teach us, because as his actions were, so are ours to be. When he reviled not again. When they smote him, when they hurt him, when they crucified him, when he was called of God to go to the cross, when the devil took him up into the high places and tempted him, when Lazarus was dead, when he wept with Lazarus, when he made decisions, when he did those things that he said, I do always those things that please my Father. His actions. And then the Bible tells me that I'm supposed to be that way too. I don't have time to live for myself, do you? I don't have time to say, doesn't matter, because it does matter. And I don't have the option or the freedom to just casually pass off the things that I do that are unlike Christ. I don't have that liberty, that luxury, because that action is going to be judged. Think about it. Sometimes we think, well, that's just the way I am. Folks, we may have to change the way we are. We don't want to take that man necessarily to the judgment. Do you have a sharp tongue this morning? Are you willing to go to the judgment with that sharp tongue, saying, Lord, that's just the way I am? Do we have trouble forgiving? That's an action. Do you have trouble forgiving? Well, that's just the way I am. I hold a grudge. Well, I go back to the Hatfields and McCoys. I go back so far in that. You want to take that to the judgment? That's an action. What if Christ had held a grudge? See? It really means something. What would Jesus do? How would he behave? What would he say? When someone had an opportunity to come along that we could do wrong. Nobody know about it. Oh, we know someone would. Nobody would know about it but me or you. What would Jesus do? How would he conduct himself? I find it a real challenge in life because I find, and I attempt to be very honest with myself. But I want to tell you something. I'm a human. So that's got qualifications on it. I know that. But I do try to be honest with myself. And in that trying, I find that without Christ, I'm a rascal. I need a lot of help. Only as I submit to him do I come through a series of actions feeling at least good about myself. Maybe I regret what happened. Maybe I didn't like the event I was in. But I can come through it only in him feeling even so. Come, Lord Jesus. That's the only way I can do it. And I really do. I'm not bragging. I try to be honest with myself. And I fail at that because I'm human, see. But Christ is able. He's very able to lay our life out that we might see what we are, who we are, what we need to change, how our actions are. I would encourage us this morning. Think about your actions. Think about it. Think about what you do yourself. Think about what you think. Think about what you read. Just think about your life. What's your attitude like? What do you really feel about God? What do you really feel about someone? Think about it. Someone that's done you wrong, do you really love their soul more than you love your feelings? Something to think about, isn't it? You see, God loved us. Christ loved us more than His own feelings. Christ and God has feelings, folks. But He loved us enough, and that perfect love enabled Him to go to the cross and forgive us while we were yet sinners even. So you think about it. Actions. Actions. They're every day a part of our life. Every day. Moment by moment. The Bible said in the 23rd Psalms, speaking of the Lord being our shepherd, that He would lead us in what way? Paths of righteousness. Have you ever thought about why He said that? Why He would lead us in paths of righteousness? The answer is right there. For His name's sake. We bear His name. We bear His image. And we are to bear Him and be His ambassador to a lost world, to our family. Therefore, He said, I am going to lead you in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. My name is going to be on you. Would you want to take the name of Jesus into a fist fight and you be one of the combatants? Would you want to lead Jesus into a great big argument of mudslinging and you be one of the combatants? He said He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Would you want to take the name of Jesus and apply it to envy or revenge, getting even, and holding grudges, pornography? Would you want to take the name of Jesus to some kind of disreputable place? Would you want to sit down in front of a television set and watch some type of ungodly activity in the name of Jesus? Would you want to take His name there? See, He leads us and our actions in the paths of righteousness because His name is on us. We're trees of righteousness. We're a planting of the Lord. And that plant that grows up, it does not say, Stanley this, Stanley that. It says, God. It brings glory to His name, see? It brings glory to Him that planted. It brings glory to Him who died that the sufficiency of grace would be there. Now, our actions are to be led in paths of righteousness. Now, I find the song says, what would Jesus do when you're tempted? Have you ever been tempted? Are you ever tempted? And will you ever again be tempted? Will you be tempted in your vocabulary or in your thought process? How about your pocketbook? Will you ever be tempted in your pocketbook? What would Jesus do? Would Jesus reason out why He couldn't give any money to the work of the Lord? Just something to think about. See, life's full of actions. Life is full of things. What would Jesus do if there was a need? His neighbor was hungry. What would Jesus do if they were going to send some people somewhere to talk about Him and spread His word, but He couldn't go, but He did have a little change in His pocket? What would Jesus do? See? Action. Everything we do is action. Everything we do. How we handle our finances. How we handle our home. How we govern ourselves is a series of actions. What would Jesus do? I find myself, folks, needing prayer. Paul talked about when he preached to others, he brought his body under subjection lest he by any means would be made a castaway. When I think about what would Jesus do, then I openly say, pray for me. Pray for me. Because you see, I'm quite human, and so are you, if you really come right down to it. And we've heard of reasoning already in this meeting. And folks, we can reason ourselves out of what Jesus would do. And we would say, but Jesus, you see, it's this way. And first thing you know, what Jesus is doing or would do has become second. Because we have figured it out that Jesus wasn't here in that kind of scenario. And he understands. No, he said, if we're made perfect in love, we're going to be like he is. If we're made perfect. The Holy Ghost. Perfect love. Indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Christ in us. Purging. Cleansing. What? Our actions, our deeds, our thought, our motivation. To rid us of that seat of actions that we're always embarrassed about. Take away the power of that thing. Break the yoke of it. Cause it to come under subjection to the power of Him who now reigns in my heart. We say, we are reigning in this life. We just sang that a while ago. Folks, if I become under the control of myself, I'm not reigning. If I come under the control of anger, I'm not reigning. If I have jealousy in my heart, which contrary to the Word of God it is, I'm not reigning. If I'm stingy with my money, I'm not reigning. That thing's reigning. Sure it is. The only way I can reign is for Christ to reign. The only way I can do that. The only way I can reign in this life is bring myself under subjection to how the Lord would act. And you may be different, but Paul wasn't. He said, I give myself a punch under the eye. Well, I have to get... Folks, this old boy does a lot of punching. Does a lot of punching. But Paul said, I give myself, bring my body under subjection. Brother Carver used to say it was this way. He was alluding to the sacrifice and the disciplines of the boxer. And he said, I give myself a punch under the eye, Brother Carver would say. And that's what we have to do, is it not? See, temperance is really a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Well, let us go on. Lead us in paths of righteousness. You know, James said it this way, if any of you lack wisdom. So we don't have an excuse now for saying, well, I didn't know. How many times have you heard someone say, wasn't me? The Bible says, if you lack wisdom, ask of the Lord, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. Only let him ask in faith. I think this about that little phrase. Faith that God's right. Faith that what He tells me is going to be right. Faith that I can trust that. Faith that if I obey that, I'm going to be like Him. Faith. Let him ask in a faith that I can obey Him. So something to think about. So young man, young lady, us that are a little older than young, think about this. Your actions can be governed by the wisdom of God. That's a promise. The Holy Ghost, whom we need, will lead us into all the truth of God's words. Scripture over in Galatians tells me something that's contrary to humanity. But I believe it's imperative for the government of our actions. In Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. I believe it's imperative if my actions are going to be governed by God, if my actions are going to be as Christ is, if my actions are going to be in accord with the thought of what would Jesus do in this situation or how did He do in this situation. Paul said, I had to come to a place. I recognized in me was no good thing. And I recognized that I needed discipline not only of myself, but of God. He said, therefore, like Christ went to a tree and died, I am crucified with Christ. That presents to us a challenge. That, folks, is not a decision that's made casually. Regrettably, it's not a decision that's made often enough. I believe in one definite work of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I believe He does that at that point. But I also believe that as I go through life and am called on to act, and that's moment by moment. I need that leadership and that filling, and there's going to be times I need that purging. Right in that sanctified experience, I believe that. Now, if you didn't get it that way, well, help me out, because I need purging sometimes. I need some snippers. Sometimes I need some big shit. But I find the disciplines of Christ in this, that if I am going to live for Him, we know then that something about us has to get out of the way. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. I find that, folks, I don't know. I am no judge. God forbid that I'd even want to be. How many people are really crucified now? I wouldn't judge you in a moment. Or in a million years, really. But I wonder if our actions sometimes, I speak in general as a man, as a person, in the community of man. I wonder if sometimes our actions do not betray us. I am crucified with Christ. Enough said, maybe. Crucifixion is a death to one's will and one's way and a submission to the life of Christ in the sense we're talking about now. Actions speak sometimes, we know, louder than words. I am crucified with Christ. Are we? Am I? Are you? Something to think about. What does my actions say? We're going to talk to Brother Stanley. If you disagree with him, watch out. My actions speak, wouldn't it? If you get the best of him in the deal, you better watch out, because he's got something on his mind. He's going to get you back on that one. Actions speaking louder than words. Don't get my way. You watch Brother Stanley. He's good. He's fine. Oh, he really loves the Lord. He doesn't get his way. You watch him swell up and puff up. Power. Actions betray us, folks. They really do. I am crucified with Christ. Sacrificial. Given. Over and abundant. More than maybe was expected. A total consecration. We sang of all earthly store. I wonder about that one, too. All earthly store. Think about it. I'm crucified with Christ. What does my actions say? What would Jesus do? When I'm compelled to go a mile, do I make sure I mark that mile off real distinctly? It's always getting out of me. Got my mile in, man. It's on you now. Our actions. When I'm called on to make a decision for myself, what's the motivating force? And how does it always come out? Does it seem to generally always come out to the most convenient way? Our actions. Our actions. Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, yet I live, yet not I. The animation that Paul said you see in me is Jesus Christ. Oh, God, help us. Help me, Lord. The animation Paul said you see me do, it's Christ. Pretty heavy, isn't it, Brother Gordon, to say that? Get up a little grumpy one morning. Yeah, you know. You're running late. You got enough money for this, but not that in God's work. Paul said, what you see is not me, it's Christ. The life which I am, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, this animation you see, and the thought processes you do not see, I've based it on Jesus Christ and faith in His providence, faith in His power, faith in His righteousness, faith in His goodness, faith in His faithfulness, faith in His pathway. And I have submitted to that the life that I now live. So now my actions, and I believe sometimes they can appear rough and coarse to others. But if God's in that thing and tempering in us, folks, you keep right on going that way and let God temper and smooth and cause you then to be that portrait of Christ. He said, in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I thank the Lord this morning that if I will, I can know what Jesus would do. And I'll be honest with you, folks. In those moments of selfishness when I'm, back and forth, I'll be honest with you this morning. I know exactly what Jesus would do. It's not the problem of what would Jesus do. It's what Stanley's going to do. Because really and truly, we already know what Jesus would do. He would do always those things that bring glory and honor to the Father. Always. So really, it's not the wrestling of what Jesus would do. It's what I'm going to do with what I know Jesus would do. You pray for me.